Picture this. You wake up one morning, open your phone, and every app you use asks you to prove how old you are before you can scroll a single post. No ID, no access. That is not a dystopian movie plot. That is the reality millions of Australians are living right now. And the reason it matters to everyone watching this, whether you live in Sydney or Singapore or Sacramento, is that what Australia just did has never been done anywhere on Earth at this scale before. This is the story of how one country decided to rewrite the rules of the internet, what it actually looks like in practice, who is fighting it, why it keeps failing, and why the rest of the world is watching every single second of it. Let us go back to where this started. For years, researchers, parents, and child safety advocates in Australia had been raising alarms about what the internet was doing to kids. The concern was not simply about screen time. It was about the specific nature of what children were being exposed to, algorithm-driven feeds engineered to be addictive, graphic content appearing without warning, and strangers using social platforms to reach minors. The Australian e-safety commissioner, Julie Inman-Grant, had been building a case for years that voluntary measures from tech companies were not working. Platforms set their own rules, enforced them selectively, and faced no serious consequences when children slipped through. That changed dramatically in late 2024. On the 21st of November 2024, the Online Safety Amendment Social Media Minimum Age Bill was introduced to the Australian Parliament. It moved fast. By the 29th of November 2024, just 8 days later, it passed. On the 10th of December 2024, it received royal assent and became law. The speed of that passage shocked many observers. The law amended the existing Online Safety Act 2021 and introduced a framework that had never been attempted at a national level anywhere in the world. It was described as the first law of its kind on the planet. What the law actually required was this. From the 10th of December 2025, exactly 1 year after receiving royal assent, age-restricted social media platforms had to take reasonable steps to prevent Australians under the age of 16 from creating or keeping accounts on their services. Crucially, the burden of enforcement was placed entirely on the platforms, not on parents, not on teenagers themselves. If a platform failed to comply, it faced civil penalties of up to $49.5 million per breach. The e-safety commissioner was given the power to investigate, issue directions, and pursue enforcement. This was not a suggestion. This was law with teeth. The list of platforms subject to these restrictions was announced publicly on the 21st of November 2025 and came into force on December 10th of that year. The platforms named were Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, Threads, X, which was formerly Twitter, YouTube, Reddit, Twitch, and Kick. The inclusion of YouTube surprised many people. When the bill was first passing through Parliament, YouTube was widely expected to be exempt because of its enormous role in education. But in June 2025, eSafety Commissioner Julie Inman-Grant formally recommended including YouTube after research identified it as the most frequently reported source of harmful content for children aged 10 to 15. The government accepted that recommendation. YouTube Kids, however, was carved out and kept accessible. The logic was that logged-out viewing could continue for educational purposes, but holding a personal account required age verification. Some platforms were also specifically excluded from the minimum age requirement. Messaging apps, online gaming services, professional networking platforms, and services primarily used for education and health were all exempted. The rules were finalized by the Minister for Communications on the 29th of July 2025. Now here's where it gets complicated in practice. How do you actually verify someone's age on the internet? The e-safety commissioner deliberately avoided mandating a single technology. The phrase used repeatedly in the legislation and regulatory guidance was reasonable steps, and the interpretation of what that means was left to platforms and their compliance teams. What emerged in practice was a range of approaches. Snapchat began prompting Australian users to verify their age through bank-connected identity checks, government-issued photo ID scanned and validated by a third-party service called KID, or facial age estimation, where a selfie is taken, and an algorithm estimates whether the user is above the age threshold. Threads, owned by Meta, began requiring users to either upload a government ID or complete a video selfie scan, processed through a company called Yoti. The platforms were explicit that they would not receive the actual ID documents or facial scans. Only a yes or no result indicating whether the user was old enough would be passed back to the platform. The privacy architecture built around this process was significant. Australian law explicitly stated that no Australian could be compelled to use government-issued digital identification for age assurance on social media. The Office of the Australian Information Commissioner co-regulated the scheme alongside eSafety, overseeing the privacy obligations of platforms and third-party verification providers. Data collected during age verification was not supposed to be used for advertising or any purpose beyond confirming age, But critics immediately pointed out that these protections existed on paper, and the history of data breaches involving third-party services gave little comfort. That fear was not hypothetical. In October 2025, a breach of a third-party vendor used by the platform Discord led to the exposure of approximately 70,000 government ID photos. That incident happened while Australian age verification systems were being rolled out, and it crystallized the concerns of digital rights advocates. Molly Buckley, an activist at the Electronic Frontier Foundation, stated that the answer is not to ask people to hand over their most sensitive and most valuable data to the same big tech companies they already do not trust. John Perino, a senior policy and advocacy expert at the Internet Society, argued that young people need help and safeguards, not a ban that cuts off existing connections and support networks. Associate Professor Faith Gordon from the Australian National University contended that social media companies should face an enforced duty of care rather than outright bans. One of the most persistent criticisms was about LGBTQ plus youth and teenagers in rural areas who relied on social media platforms, not for entertainment, but for genuine community and mental health support. The concern was that these users, already marginalized, would be the ones most harmed by being cut off. In November 2025, ABC News ran a poll through its Behind the News program that reached over 17,000 young Australians. The results revealed something striking. When asked whether they planned to stop using social media once the ban came into effect, 75% said no. When asked whether they thought the social media ban was a good idea, 70% said no. And those teenagers were not just expressing an opinion, they were already making plans. A 14-year-old named Evelyn in New South Wales told The Washington Post in December 2025 that she planned to use her mother's Face ID to log into Snapchat and Instagram. On Reddit, users were sharing methods involving printed mesh face masks sourced from an online retailer to fool facial recognition tools. VPN downloads surged. The eSafety Commissioner acknowledged the circumvention problem and commented that VPNs with meaningful privacy capabilities cost in the thousands of dollars and were therefore out of reach for most teenagers. Critics pointed out that perfectly functional VPN services were available for well under 20 Australian dollars per month, suggesting the commissioner's assessment was significantly miscalibrated. By March 2026, when the next wave of regulations came into force, VPN downloads spiked again noticeably. That next wave was phase two of Australia's age verification framework, and it went far beyond social media. On the 27th of June 2025, eSafety registered six new industry codes. Three of them came into effect on the 27th of December 2025, applying to search engines, hosting services, and internet carriage providers. Under these codes, Google and other search engines were required to blur pornographic and violent results for users who were not logged in or who were under 18 years old. The remaining six codes came into effect on the 9th of March 2026. These applied to app distribution platforms, including the Apple App Store and Google Play, device manufacturers, social media platforms protecting 16 and 17-year-olds from adult content and feeds and direct messages, adult websites requiring what the codes called hard age verification for all users, AI chatbots and companions being prevented from generating explicit material for minors, and gaming and messaging services. The explicit content regulations were significant because they covered not just traditional pornography websites, but also AI chatbot services that could be prompted to produce adult content. Julie Inman Grant described the concern clearly, noting that excessive sexualized engagement with AI companions could interfere with children's social and emotional development, and that there had already been documented cases of AI chatbots encouraging suicidal thoughts in conversations with vulnerable young people. She also referenced the eSafety Commissioner's own research, finding that one in three young people reported their first encounter with pornography occurring before the age of 13, and that many described this exposure as frequent, accidental, unavoidable, and unwelcome. The penalty structure for Phase 2 mirrored Phase 1, civil penalties of up to 49, 5 million Australian dollars, roughly 34, 5 million US dollars applied per breach of a direction to comply with the codes. Enforcement was to focus on systemic non-compliance rather than isolated incidents. Australians could report non-compliance services directly to eSafety. By mid-January 2026, just weeks after Phase 1 came into force, over 4.7 million underage accounts had already been restricted according to compliance data. The eSafety Commissioner published a transparency report in March 2026, summarizing the first 3 months of implementation. The report noted compliance efforts from the 10 named platforms, but also acknowledged ongoing challenges around circumvention, verification accuracy, and the migration of young users toward less regulated spaces. The report confirmed that the list of age-restricted platforms was not static and could expand as new services emerged. Internationally, the law was being watched with enormous attention. Michael Posner, director of the NYU Stern Center for Business and Human Rights, called it a hugely important test case, saying that if it succeeds, governments around the world would look at what Australia had done and follow. Reuters reported that Denmark and Malaysia were exploring similar bans, and several U.S. states, including Nebraska, Utah, Texas, and Louisiana, had already passed their own age restriction laws requiring platforms to verify users' ages, though none went as far as the Australian framework. The Australian government contracted researchers at Stanford University to conduct independent evaluation of outcomes over the coming years, measuring effects on mental health, circumvention rates, and whether young users were migrating to less regulated corners of the internet. Two Australian teenagers filed legal action to block the law, arguing it violated their implied right to political communication under the Australian Constitution. In November 2025, the Digital Freedom Project announced it would pursue a high court challenge on similar grounds. The Law Council of Australia raised concerns that the scope of the legislation was too broad and posed risks to both privacy and human rights. Opposition to the law grew from 14% in July 2024 to 22% by December 2025, though a majority of Australians still supported it. 66% believed the ban would be at least somewhat effective, while 34% had no faith in it working. What Australia has built is simultaneously the most ambitious attempt any democratic government has made to regulate children's access to the internet and the most publicly contested. The technology works imperfectly. The circumvention is real and widespread. The privacy risks are documented and not theoretical. But the harms it is trying to address, addiction by design, exposure to graphic content, exploitation of minors, manipulation through algorithm, those harms are also real and documented. Australia has placed itself at the center of one of the most consequential debates of the digital age, and every outcome, every failure, every unexpected consequence will shape what the rest of the world decides to do next. The question is not whether age verification is coming globally. Based on everything happening right now, it is. The question is what form it takes and whose rights get protected along the way.